Some of you may be sitting here tonight and you're not believing that. And there's days where we wake up and where we feel like those words aren't true, aren't there? But we know what God's word says. And when you start placing your value in what God's word says, then you no longer are bound by the lies. And as I introduce my mom tonight, who was a very powerful voice in my life, you know, just hearing those words as he spoke them, there is life in his words. And there is nothing more powerful than when you doubt yourself or you're believing lies and somebody brings truth. And that is something my mother always did. There was a lot of people from the time I was a young girl, she would call me her butterfly. And you'll see a lot of butterflies around here today, and there's a reason for that. Because our heart is for you to soar. And for so many years, my wings were broken. But she saw me flying. She knew that one day I would soar, and she didn't believe the lies. Even as a little child, there are things that were said over you that were not true. I remember even as a little girl, one of the things they always said was, she talks way too much. And my mom just was always there. She always tells the story of how all my records were burned when I went into high school, and she felt like that was significant because I was a broken person. And I was running after the world. But she believed, and she walked through that with me. And as I bring her, Mom, you want to come up? Up here tonight, I just want to say, I don't look at her as my mother. I'm the oldest of 5 kids, and there are 17 grandkids, and she is the Yoda of our family. She speaks life. I mean, I hear her even speaking to the littlest ones, as they grow up, and even as the young girls in our family will doubt themselves. And they do. We've had cutting, we've had all kinds of things in our family, and it's a beautiful thing to have a woman like this at the helm who is going to speak life into your children. So, Mom, ready? Do you have a microphone on? Oh, you're going to use one. Okay. All right.
With that, the Lord Jesus Christ is all-powerful, mighty God. And I stand before you tonight, and the things that Michelle has said are because of him, because he came into my life. I was a broken person. I had 5 kids and a wonderful husband, and I contemplated suicide every day. Nobody knew that. Nobody, not even my husband. I sat in church, I smiled, I looked like the perfect woman. You don't know who you're by. You don't know what someone's feeling. You may not feel good about yourself, but you don't know the one that you think is perfect. You don't know what they're feeling. Just because on the outside people look good doesn't mean that on the inside they're not broken and hurting. When God came to me, when the Lord came to me, I was 30 years old. I've been in the Lord 40 years. And he said to me, I didn't know God talked. I didn't know he knew my name. And he came through a letter my sister sent me, and he surrounded me with love that I had been looking for all my life, because I grew up in complete fear every day. I went to school wondering if my mother was still going to be alive when I got home, because of the abuse that went on in my home with my dad, who died at 42 years old, an alcoholic. But I do know by the vision God gave me that he's with Jesus. You see, we don't know where people go. I thought at the time I was 22 years old, I thought that he went to hell. That's what I thought. But you see, he had an experience with Jesus Christ before he left the earth. We don't know. Just like the ones that hung on the cross by Jesus, you know. They had not lived the life, but he said, you will be with me this day in paradise. And so Jesus said to me that day, Sandy, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And if you will follow me, I will show you how to live. And that day, I laid my husband, who was my God, I laid my children, who were my gods, on the altar. And I said, I will follow you no matter where it takes me. I will follow you for the rest of my life, even if I lose my family. Because he was there to give me life. I did call Michelle my butterfly. And there were times, do you know why I believed for her? Because of him. I had people tell me, your daughter's already getting older. She has her own will. I said, no, God's will is over her will. And my daughter will serve the living God no matter what. No matter what I see, no matter what I want to think. Sometimes I imagine, you see, God gave me a little vision. And when she was 15 and I saw darkness come on her. And the Lord told me that he was going to allow that for her. He was going to allow her to touch sin. And then he was going to call her to a commitment. Do you know how many of the times I said, God, she has such a strong will. Such a strong will. And one day God said to me, Sandy, I gave her her will. And he said, one day, when that will is bent toward me, she's going to do great things in my kingdom. Wouldn't you agree with that? But I didn't see it then. I didn't see it. I knew I loved her, and I knew the enemy wasn't going to come in. I had a second daughter who ran away at 15 when we were on the road traveling, and the devil said, well, you didn't get her. You didn't get Michelle, but you can't have this one. I said, no. This daughter will serve the Lord too. All my children are serving the Lord. I'm not letting go of anything. Our words of our mouth, Matthew 12:37, for by the words, your words, thou shalt be justified, and by thy words, thou shalt be condemned. The words that we speak, and one thing I want to say so much tonight is things that God has taught me. In my living room a couple of years ago, the Lord said to me, did I think the world into being, Sandy? And I said, no, you spoke the world into being. He said, well, I'm still speaking if you will open your mouth. So what's coming out of our mouth? Is it God's word? Is it what he's saying about us, like we saw here? Or is it what the enemy has lied to us? I have a friend in Colorado, and she's just now getting free. She came to the Lord. I've known her for 40 years. She taught my daughter's piano. And she was so lied to growing up. I thought my dad was angry. I thought all the anger was to do with alcoholism. Her father was an angry man. He never drank alcohol, period. But her mother would say to her, oh, no, Patty, you can't go over there on the other side of those tracks because we don't belong there. And then when she had problems or anything, her mother would say, oh, honey, just sit down and have something to eat. It'll make you feel better. Well, she has struggled with an eating addiction for so long, and she's just now getting free, and she's the same age as me, 70. That's a long time. Because those words are stuck. Because every time something would happen, she goes to food. Because that's what her mom said. It's going to make you feel better. You're going to feel so much better. words matter. I was shy, and everybody introduced me. This is Sandy. She's shy. And when I came to the Lord, I wanted to be the tack behind the picture on the wall. I did not want to be out here. I did not want to get up in front of people and talk. God chose me to do worship. I did not want to do worship and be out in front of people. I didn't want to do any of that. I've told people, you couldn't have paid me $1 million. You couldn't have paid me only for Jesus, only because that's what he chose me to do. I said, Lord, why are you choosing me to lead worship? I mean, I'm not the greatest singer. I'm not the greatest musician. He said, that's why I chose you. Because you see, you need me. You need me. And when in Las Vegas, we lived in Las Vegas 15 years. That's where I came to have the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people said, Las Vegas? You lived there? And, you know, I said, yeah. Oh, yeah. People were witnessing in the casino and in the wherever. Because everybody was talking about Jesus back in 1974 when I came to the Lord. Boy, everywhere you went, that's what you heard is the name of Jesus. The anointing of the Lord God is in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. So, another thing that the Lord showed me recently, it wasn't something I hadn't known, but you know how when you know something and then suddenly God lets you know that you know that you know? My whole family, my mom and two brothers and a sister, in less than 2 years, they all went to be with Jesus. And I didn't realize the stress because I knew they were with the Lord. And God had brought us together out in Springtown and healed my family. Let me tell you, I can think about my past and I don't have a tear to shed. I don't have a pain inside, not one. And every memory, things that were traumatic, things that you would think, wow. But I do want to share one thing. I had to want to be healed. I had to let God come in and heal me on the inside. My sister was 57 when she died. She died in her sleep. She wasn't taking medicine or anything else. But the autopsy showed that her heart was like a piece of leather. A few weeks before she died, we were talking, and she's talking about things that happened. This is my sister that wrote me about the Lord. She had the Holy Spirit, but she couldn't let God on the inside. She couldn't let him into her pain. There's only one way, and that's to face it with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. And in the beginning, I said, God, I want to be healed yesterday. Well, it didn't happen that way. He said, Sandy, it's a little at a time. And then I wanted to bring up the memories to him. He said, no, I'll bring them up to you. And when I bring it up to you, you're going to have healing. Some things were so traumatic that he had to bring it up a few times. But every time the Holy Spirit was there with me. Because every traumatic place that you've ever experienced in your life, you're that child. Whatever age you were, that's where you are. And I still, in so many areas, there's nobody that could make you cry the way that I cried when he came in and did the healing because it was so deep. And it was that little girl who needed healing. Well, my sister didn't receive that healing. She still was with the pain. She was so afraid to face it. And after age 40, after I don't know how long she had been, we'd been in the Lord, but she started drinking alcohol. You see, the devil will offer you anything. When I first started, can you believe this? When I first started ministering out on the road, it was so hard for me to stand up and speak that I told the Lord, if you don't get me past this fear, I think my heart's not going to make it. I was so afraid, and yet God's anointing was on me. His anointing was there every time. people were healed and set free. That was my heart. And so the reason I shared about my family leaving is because it's to share the difference, the lies that the enemy tells, the lies he told my sister, the lies he told my friend, lies he told me. Sandy, you're shy. You can't talk in front of people. You can't do this. You can't. I wouldn't have done anything ever in my life. I didn't want to, because I didn't think I could. But God saw me different. Because, see, Sandy died. I wanted to die. I wanted to take my life. And I thought of ways to do it. But I didn't know. I knew enough about Jesus that I didn't know if I did that, if I would have to stand in front of him and him tell me that I committed murder, because that's what I thought it would be. And so I couldn't do it because I might not go to heaven. And I wanted to go to heaven, but I didn't know how to get there. And so when he came into my life that day, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Sandy died. I did eventually die. She died. And a new Sandy was born that day. Now, was she free of everything right that minute? No. Little by little by little by little, God drew me with his love. And he gave me worship. Let me tell you, ladies, you all worshiped here today. There is nothing more powerful than sitting and worshiping the Father. You see, my heart's desire was to have a father. All my growing up years, I used to climb up in the pecan tree way high, as far as I could go, because I thought maybe God heard me better up there. And I wanted a father. I wanted my dad to stop drinking. I wanted him to be that father that I dreamed about. Never happened. But you know what? He has fathered me. I have a father. And he's taken me all the way back to the little girl. Sandy, what do you like? One day he said, I want to take you shopping. I don't have any money, Lord. It's okay. I want to know what you like. I didn't ever have a father that took me shopping. Well, I went with him to the shopping center, and I didn't know anybody else was in there, just me and my father. That sounds kind of silly, but God looks at every little thing in your life. He wants to replace what the lies have stolen and what the enemy has stolen. There's not anybody sitting in here that hasn't had things stolen from them, where lies haven't been there to steal. But God said, I came to give you life, and life more abundantly. Are we having abundant life? All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me and you with every spiritual blessing and heavenly realms, because we're united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved you and me and chose me and you and Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. You see, God doesn't look, because of the blood of Jesus, he doesn't see your faults. You know, in my house, I've made my house, it's like a tea room, and I have a prayer breakfast there once a month, and I've had retreats and different things. And so he's given me ideas. He's created. See where God said, I'm still creating? He said, I want to use you. I'm still creating. I didn't stop creating. I want to use you. So in my house, he has so ministered to me with things. He'll show me things to do, how to decorate, how to do it, what's going to be like. And then I'd have my prayer breakfast or whatever, people there. And afterwards, I would start critiquing everything. And one day he said to me, I thought you said I gave you these ideas. Oh, yeah, that's right. Because, see, I still didn't feel good about what I was doing. It's like maybe it wasn't good enough. Maybe it was too crowded, and maybe I need to change this, and maybe I need, no. God wants to create because he wants to create, not because I think that I need to make everything different. As we adopt God's thinking, the Word of God, we gradually change the way we talk, and the way we talk determines our future. My friend in Colorado, she told me the other day, she's been having a lot of trouble the last couple of weeks and different times. God's been really working on her. And she told me, she's a piano teacher, so she told me she'd been complaining about the studio that she's in for a year and a half that she's been there. She's complained about it. Well, now, a year and a half later, the guy who's in a place next to her complained to the owner that he doesn't want her teaching piano there before 5 o'clock every day, and he's complaining. And she said, Sandy, I have been complaining and I'm reaping what I've sowed. You see, have you reaped a lot of stuff that you've sowed? Because a lot of words that you sow, they're going to be reaped. Okay, Lord, where is that scripture? It's Proverbs 18:20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. I don't know what I did with the rest of that. Anyway, Proverbs 18:20, you can look it up. The fruit of your mouth is what you're going to reap, is basically what it's saying. He has said so many things to me so many times, but this last time, see, once my family died, I didn't realize that I had the stress all inside, and I started having problems with my digestive system. And I was in such a place that I allowed that to come in. And so I've been struggling. The last one, my youngest brother, my siblings were all in their 50s, my youngest one being 53. And that was 2007 of September. So here we are, 2014, and I'm better, but I'm still had a struggle with this because I let it come in. And so the other night, I went to bed, and I was praying over myself, and my husband has prayed over me so much, and just putting my hands on my tummy and speaking peace, and speaking peace, and speaking peace. And then it's like this boldness came into me, where the Lord was saying to me, Sandy, I'm not coming up with what I was going to say. And he spoke it. It's there. It's just that I've got all these notes, and that's why I don't ever do notes. Throw the notes away. Yeah, because I can't. I don't do notes. I just can't. But anyway, what he was saying to me was, and a boldness came into me. He said, your brain directs your body, doesn't it, Sandy? If you have no brain, your body doesn't work. We know that with people with Alzheimer's. Little by little, their body stops functioning, even the ability to swallow or to eat. And so he said, it's the same in the spirit. When you speak my word, your body has to obey. That's what he said. By the Spirit of God, when you speak my word, your body has to obey my word. I've given you authority. And that's what we're coming into today, ladies, is walking in the very authority that the living God gave us through Jesus and his blood that we sing about and that we worship. And yet so many times, you see, I can pray for you when you've got pain, but when you've got pain in your own body and it's attacking you, It's not as easy to stand up and say, I am healed. Not I'm going to be. I am healed by the blood of Jesus and by the word of my testimony. I am healed. And so that came so bold. And then I was looking for actually Michelle's second book because I was something in it I wanted to read. I couldn't find it. I have a lot of books at my house. So I went through everything. And then I came across this book that I read a couple of years ago. I opened it up, and exactly what God had said to me is in that I opened it to right there in that book. And I said, oh, okay. You know how the Lord is when he says things to you. I mean, it's almost like, okay, get it. I know all that. I know about saying God's word. But see, I'm a thinker. So a lot of times I just think God's word. I just think it. That's why he said to me, did I think it into being or did I speak the world into being? And he said, I'm still speaking if you will open your mouth. And so with each one of you, I don't know the lies that the enemy has told any of you, but you know what they are. You know what they are. Some of them were spoken to you by your parents, by a friend, by a school teacher. I had a school teacher in seventh grade, told my mom I would never do anything in life because I couldn't talk. She wasn't right because God came in and he gave me a voice and he's loved me with an everlasting love and he has fathered me. He brought me a stepfather, a second stepfather, who actually, because I said, God, it's so hard to trust because I didn't have anything, any trusting in my life growing up, none. There was nothing. I felt like the adult. I was the oldest, and I felt like I was older than my parents. I took a lot of responsibility. Then I married my husband, and I just let him take over and rule my life because I was tired taking all the responsibility. So one day God said to me, Sandy, he said, my husband's name is Tony. He said, if I wanted two Tonys, I would have made two. I made a Tony and a Sandy, and I want you to be who you are. And what he said on the film is what I was going to say to you when I got up here. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? That's what God is saying. Who are you? It's, you've got to know who you are on the inside. And when God said to me in the night one night, I'm healing you from the inside out. I said, well, what does that mean exactly, healing from the inside out? God lives in you. He lives in me. We have the living God inside of us. That's why the Holy Spirit came. To live in us, to give us the power to live in this life. To fight the battles. Prior to going out into ministry, I was attacked in my mind. Like airplanes all around my brain. Just thoughts from the enemy coming into me. It was horrible. It made you feel like you're losing your mind. So my husband's praying for me all night. I'm praying. And other people were praying for me. See, this is how God has dealt with me. He may not deal with you in the same way exactly. But what he's done, he's made me fight. He's made me fight the battle. Because when I fight the battle, then I can be strong to fight someone else's battle. But if I don't fight mine and somebody fights it for me, so God gave me a dream. A vision, whatever. And I go out my front door and I see this family with a tent in our front yard. And I said, what are you doing here? They said, well, we're going to live here. Well, I said, no, you're not, because this is my property. And they said, oh, no, we put our things here. We're living here. So the way that I talked to them was just like, just having a little conversation. They didn't listen. And then God said to me, what are you going to do now? And I said, I'm going out there and I'm going to point my finger at them, and I'm going to tell them, you will get off my property, because this is my property, and you are trespassers, and if you don't leave, I will get the authorities here, and they will make you leave, but you are leaving. And God said, that's what you have to do with the enemy. You can't just talk a little to him. Oh, you know, you need to leave, or you have to have the authority of the living God working in you, talking in you, and he will leave. That's exactly what I did with Michelle, you know. Because I said, we went out into ministry and the enemy attacks our kids. He attacked our kids. I said, you may attack me, but I said, you attack my kids. I said, I'll get every kid into salvation that I ever come across in my lifetime. Because I said, you don't attack my kids. Isn't that how you feel about your kids? I mean, you might not fight as much for yourself, but I'll tell you, if somebody gets a hold of one of your kids, you're going to fight. We're in a fight. He said, fight the fight of faith. Is that, faith is a fight, is it? So everything that comes to you, where the enemy attacks or things that come, are there for you to stand on the living word of God and come against it. And you will see victory. It's not you may see victory. You will see victory. You will. So the night that God showed me that with my stomach, a week ago maybe, I got up that morning. I felt like God had empowered me in a different way than I had been empowered. Not that I didn't know what he had said to me and he hadn't said it before, but we're in a new day today where God's word is going to go forth in ways through you, every one of you. You've been called by the Lord. I don't know what to, only you and God know. And you may be saying like I did, Lord, I don't sing. My mom used to tell me, Sandy, you don't sing well, you know. And I said, I don't sing. Well, he said, yeah, you do now. You do now. The old Sandy passed away. The new Sandy sings. But let me tell you, it was the worship that brought such healing on the inside of me. Such healing. Just sitting and worshiping him and worshiping him and worshiping him and worshiping him. And then after we kind of got off the road, we were traveling 5 years without a home. The Lord removed the feeling of his presence when I would worship. Because see, I always felt such a tremendous presence. And I said, what? What did I do? I thought I must have done something or something I'm not seeing or something, and I'm seeking him. And the Lord said, Sandy, it's kind of become like a drug to you. Are you worshiping me because of me or because you just want a good feeling of me? So then he started speaking to me, the just shall live by faith and faith in my word. And he said, are you going to worship me if there's no feeling? I said, God, you spoil me so much. You've just spoiled me. You've just doused me in these feelings of your presence. And well, he said, yeah, but that won't take you through the hard places. Faith in my word. That's what's going to take you through. So I got so tired for a whole year everywhere I went. The just shall live by faith and faith in my word. I said, God, I hear you. I hear you. The just shall live by faith and faith in my word. And I don't know what we're going to go through, whatever. We're going to have great things in this in the body of Christ. But I don't know what the country's going to go through. I don't know, I think of Psalm 2 all the time, where God says he sits in the heavens and laughs because he's over every nation. He's over all nations. And there's nothing that is a surprise to him. So I don't really know about that. But all I know is, no matter what we go through, no matter what it is, God has given us the faith to go through it. There's a fight. I just want to share one more thing where that we were attacked on the road. We were in Miami, Florida. Our son John was 14 at the time. And he got very sick. And he had a very high fever. Well, my kids have been sick before. You see, back when I was new in the Lord, God said to me, he wanted me to believe him for healing. I didn't know God healed. And believe me, the doctor saw the pediatrician's office, the nurse said, Sandy, you need to put a tent up in the parking lot, because I was always there with one kid or another. And so I said, but it's just easier to go get antibiotics, you know, a little something. He said, if you can't believe me for the little things, how are you going to believe me if something big happens to you? And what if you don't have doctors? What if you end up not having somebody you can go to? Okay. I saw steps going up to heaven, and I saw each step a step of faith. So in Miami, when John had this high fever, I knew it was different. It wasn't like tonsillitis, because he didn't move. And it's like his body was glued to the bed, just out. So my husband had gone, I think, to take Michelle to the airport somewhere. And I knelt down to pray over him. And I said, Lord, this is my son. I have three sons. This is my oldest son. I said, I know you only had one son and you gave your son. I said, God, I don't want my son to die, because I knew something serious was wrong. And so the Lord said to me, Sandy, at that time before he spoke to me, I had said to him, I give you my son. And whether he lives or dies, I will praise you and I will worship you and I will preach healing till the day I die, because I know that healing is of you. I don't care whether I see it with my eyes or not. And then God said to me, Sandy, your son has pneumonia. And he said, when Tony gets back, I want you to take him to the emergency room. And he told me that it was an attack of witchcraft, and he told me there'd be no medicine that would cure him. And he said, this is a battle that you're going to have to fight. And he said, but I have won this battle for you. And he said, you call all the people where you've ministered, where you've been, and you have them to pray and fight this battle with you. Well, we went to the hospital, and they sent him over to Miami Children's Hospital. We didn't have any money, and we had no insurance. We didn't know till later on that Miami Children's doesn't even take you if you don't have any money or insurance. But they took us. I got to sit and witness to the head of that hospital for over an hour when we went into the hospital that night. And we were in the hospital there for 3 weeks, and the Lord told me not to leave his room. And because he said, you don't know who's around. You don't know what's here. Okay. So the Lord gave me wisdom to know what to pray over every circumstance. He ended up having to have a chest tube in that lung. And the Lord was showing me that the bacteria was bacterial pneumonia. And that the bacteria not only was attacking the lung, but it was spreading to his heart. Already had one child die in that hospital with that same problem. And so 21 days, Michelle came back. It was her birthday, remember? And we said, we can't be in the hospital for her birthday. And so that morning I got up on the 21st day. And the Lord gave me my song, a song in my heart, my son is coming home. And I knew that he was going home. I knew he wasn't better, but I knew he was going home. We didn't have a home, but where we were staying. And the nurse comes in, the head nurse, and she said, I don't know how that you've been in this room 21 days. Do you realize how crowded this hospital is? We've had people out in the hallway, and you've had this room by yourself. That's because God sent nurses in and people in, and they would come in, and they just wanted to be in that room. They said there was peace in that room. And so I said, it's okay. It's okay. She said, because I'm telling you, in an hour, there will be somebody else in this room with your son. And I said, that's okay. I said, because I had word from the top this morning that he's going home. And she's checking her papers. And she said, well, I haven't had anything from the doctor. I said, it's okay, you will. So then the doctor comes in. I had so many things like that while he was in the hospital. He leaves. They put him in outpatient. We're going there. And then they're telling us that they're going to have to take his lung out. So I told my husband, let's go outside. It always sounds like I'm telling him, but he tells me. He's a man of faith. But we went outside. We stood outside. We held hands. And I said, devil, you've gone as far as you're going to go. You're not laying a knife on my son. You're not laying a knife on our son. And we commanded that he be released from the hospital, from the outpatient. We went back in, and they released him. And they said, the doctor said, I don't know why I'm doing this. He said, he needs this. And I said, we do know doctors in Atlanta. And I said, we need to go there. And I said, we'll have him checked when we get there. I knew we weren't going to be there for a while. We were at a prayer meeting ministering, and my husband, I had talked first, and then my husband was going to speak, and when I came down, he said, Sandy, you get out there and pray for him, because John was in the van. And he said, you pray for him now. I went out there. John was gray. Twice death came to him that day, and God brought him out of it. And then when we got to Orlando, Florida, again, just that gray. But after that, it was gone. We got to Atlanta. We had him checked out by doctors, and he had no pneumonia nor any sign of it in his lung because of what God did. I'm not saying to you that I've been some kind of warrior. A lot of times people want to say that about me. I've been scared so much. I've gone through, you know. It's like when you see my Bible, a lot of people go, gosh, she must really read that Bible. Look at it. It's just falling apart. No, it happened going to New Brunswick. What is that? That park over there with a water park. And I was in the back seat, and my grandchildren got water all over it. But it's my favorite Bible to have, so I still carry it around. What I say that to you for is that we see things and we think things, and we have no idea, no idea. No idea. You know, gosh, she must really read that Bible. Or she must pray day and night. No. When I say the times God has talked to me, I don't hear him talking to me every day like that. But the times that it's been important and that he wanted to teach me something, he has talked to me. I'm just going to share one last thing he showed me. And that's to do with my husband. Those of you that are married, and you've wanted to change your husband over the years, I can tell you right now, forget it. You're not changing him. And I know, because I've been married, I'll be 51 years next month, and I haven't changed him one bit. Now, I didn't think I was trying to change him. I really didn't. But I read all the books on marriage, husband and wife, all the stuff. Well, it takes two people. I mean, my husband wasn't reading any books. And I'm trying to do what the books tell me. And then one day the Lord said to me, this way he said to me. He said, if you don't believe that I can change your husband, what makes you think you can? Another. And I go, oh. I said, okay, Lord. I release him to you completely and totally. He's a great guy. It's just that we are like day and night, you know. But over the years, God has brought us kind of to the middle. I'm very, very neat. He's very, very messy. I see the least thing picture on the wall that's crooked. He would never see it if he lived in the house for 50 years. He would just never see it. That's who he is. That's just who he is. But he's come to respect me, because if I don't have some kind of order, I can't function. He can function in disorder better than I can function in order. In disorder, I have to have order in my life, in the different parts of my life. So he's come to more order. We actually are sharing a very large closet right now, and he hasn't stacked his stuff up this high. His clothes, you know, just throw them. He's been very orderly, and that's because I let him go. I don't tell him. I didn't tell him anything about the closet. I didn't say, you know, this or that. And he's from the Philippines. And one thing about him is, in his growing up, there was never thank you or please or any of that. I'm a Texas girl. It's please, thank you, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, all that. He didn't have any of that. So I started telling him, this is in the last 2 years, when I do things, I said, you didn't say thank you. You need to say thank you. And he didn't say anything. And then likes to go to McDonald's every morning. So there are people at McDonald's that started saying to him, say thank you. Say thank you. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's not that he had to, but it was just, and it wasn't like I was going to die if he didn't or something. It's just, it's been neat for him to do that. Or for him to say, I'm sorry. Because he would try to make up for things, but he never said he was sorry. But anyway, I want to leave you ladies with God's love. The Father who loves you, who we can't even have only by revelation. Really, of revelation knowledge can we know God's love. That's the only way. It's that as he reveals it, as we seek after him with all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength. That's what it takes. And to face the hurts and the things that you've had in your life head on. Because when he comes in to heal them, he'll be right there with his Holy Spirit, just ministering his love. If I were to tell you the things I went through, and I won't, you would wonder how I could say that I have no pain from my past, none. None. Not only that, but I have a love for my dad. I have a love for him. I had to ask God to give me memories, good memories, because the bad ones wiped out the good ones. You ever had that? Had bad memories, and then you can't think of anything really good because it was all, it was every day something. And he's given me good memories. He's restored. He wants to restore everything that the enemy has stolen and lied to you about. Everything. Every single thing. Don't be like my sister and be afraid. She's with Jesus now. But she could have still, if she would have let him in. She pulled away from the body of Christ. You know, when you walk with the Lord, you say, Lord, as imperfect as the body of Christ is, I would want to kiss the feet of the body of Christ. You say it, the body of Christ, the body of Christ. And I said, I'm a part of that imperfection. Because there's no perfect church, no perfect anything, no perfect anything, because none of us are. We're all being brought to that place. Total yieldedness to the Lord God, the Father, who gave his Son. That's why he said, Sandy, I didn't require your Son's life. I gave my Son. Yes. Huh? Do we want to be just to pray, or you want to, if people want prayer, what do you want to do?
No, you can close in prayer, and okay. Then if people need prayer, they can okay. come up so that we can go ahead and release.
Father, you want to take this? Father, I praise you. I praise you, my dear Father, my love, my life. And I thank you, Father God, you know every woman and man who are sitting in this room. You know them from before they were born. And Lord, I'm asking you to father them, that they would know what it's like to be fathered by you. Every area of the life, no matter what it is. That you've given us authority with your word, Lord. And I speak healing over every person in this room tonight. I declare healing. We've already had it declared tonight through worship. Those were declarations that we sang tonight. Declarations of healing. Declarations of his lordship. And I thank you, Father. Thank you that you wrap your arms around every person here, Lord. Just the way you did when you came to me that day through that letter, when your love just surrounded me. Where would I go, Father, except to you? You are my life. You are my song. You are my beloved, and I am yours. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name.